And he loved the church in Corinth. He started the church in Corinth. We've got two of the letters he wrote them, and there's a good possibility he wrote them at least four. We've only got two of them. He visited them a whole lot. But they were just one of those groups that he sometimes, if you read it, it's almost like a father who loves his children, but he's just so exasperated with them. He says, I do all this for you. I love you. I've laid everything out for you, and yet you want to go your own way. You want to go your own way. And he says, you know, it's almost like throw up my hands. But he didn't. So tonight we're reading from 2 Corinthians, beginning chapter 12, beginning with verse 11. He says, I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. How were you inferior to the other churches, except I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I may not have been a burden to you, yet crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent to you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not walk in the same footsteps by the same Spirit? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God, those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have been indulged. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you. Well, I know there's a lot you can take out of this passage, but there's something that kind of stood out to me here. And I still can't see, so let me do this right here. I just realized it's dark here. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It says this. He says, we have been speaking in the sight of God and those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. You know, if anything I ever speak from here, it's for the strengthening of the people. That's why we do this, right? We do this because we're strengthening you in the truth, in the Word of God. We're speaking life into you, and that when you're strengthened, you're ready to go out into this world and actually be ambassadors of Christ. And so it's important that we do this. It's also important that in this whole strengthening process that we strengthen each other too. It's not just a pastor to the parishioner. It's not just what happens from the stage. It's what happens between us. You know, I remember someone came to me and told me, you know, I'm not sure why you guys do that Light the Night celebration, because that's on a pagan holiday. I said, well, the reason we do it is because we're ushering in Jesus in a day where, you know, it's a day that Satan has claimed, but every day belongs to the Lord. And so whatever we're doing, we're giving people an alternative. And so that's what we did for years. You know, and he said to me, he said, we have no business on a pagan holiday celebrating anything. And I said, let me think about that. Let me pray about that. So as I began to pray about that, God began to convict me. And he began to convict me on this and saying, you have no business on that day. If you want to celebrate something, celebrate my birth, celebrate my resurrection, but I have nothing to do with that. And I know that's not popular because people like Halloween. And so I kind of wrestled with it a little bit because God knows our heart behind why we did it. As a matter of fact, he knows the heart of the people who do it all over the United States. And he only reads the heart, right? You understand that Christ only looks at the heart of the people who are actually serving him. If our heart's in this place where we're going to do this as an alternative and usher Christ into it, then there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when we feel convicted about it, it's time to stop. Because where there's conviction, God's doing that. So this isn't any statement about any other church or anything else, but I can tell you this, that in our community alone, and in bigger cities, it's even greater. Probably $20,000 to $30,000 is spent in the Halloween celebration here every year throughout churches in this area. And then when I began to think about what's being spent for the birth of Christ in this area, it's almost nothing. It's just interesting. Let's just say that. And I think that all the churches, their heart's in the right place. I want you to hear me. Our heart was in the right place in doing that. But it turned into something that it wasn't intended to be. Because way back in the day, we told people, you know, this is not Halloween, this is the church, this is something different. And it got to the point where if Jesus were to come in and stand right there in front of everybody, he would have thought it was a Halloween celebration, not a harvest festival. And so we made the decision, and it wasn't just me. We made the decision as leadership that we would no longer be doing that. But we would be doing a Christmas festival because we're honoring the birth of Christ, and we've chosen to do that. You know, I do this because I don't want to kill a tradition, because this church has done this for a lot of years. And for a lot of years, it was a wonderful thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Our heart was in the right place. But the thing about it is that Christ says, I want to be honored on my day. I want you to lift me up when I should be lifted up. I don't want anything to do with that. And I understand that. And so our decision was to do this, and I feel good about it. The reason I bring it to you tonight is it's an example of exactly what he's talking about here, is that whatever we do and we talk about in this place, we do it for the strengthening of the body. We do it because we want to become more pure before God. We do it because it is about Jesus Christ and it's about nothing else. That's what we're here for, right? That's the one common ground we have all together, is that we're all here to serve God, we're all here to be changed by him, and we're all here to steep ourselves in the truth, because that's what makes us stronger. You know, when I've looked at churches, though, over the years, and I've been to a lot of churches, not because I was a church hopper, but because we moved a lot. We went to a lot of churches, and I saw a lot of stuff. Some of the stuff I saw was really disheartening, and some of it was really awesome, because all those things can exist all in the same place, you know? But when I look at this, Paul says this, and as a pastor, I get this. He says, I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. You know, I'm afraid that when I come back here to the church that we started, I'm afraid that I'm going to see some things that bother me. I'm going to see some things that are weakening the church, not strengthening the church. One of the things he says is there could be quarreling. Anybody ever seen quarreling in church before? I have. It's ugly, and it's wrong, and it's God's house, and there's no place for that here. I mean, I'll be really super straight about it. There should be no yelling back and forth in the church. There shouldn't be fighting in the church. It will not happen here because this isn't our house, it's his, right? Not only is it disrespectful, but it's absolutely tearing apart the very fabric of what Christ is doing in this place. We're going to have differences. As a matter of fact, there may be some people here right now who differ when it comes to light tonight. But I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to quarrel with anybody, because we're not going to go there. This isn't about that. The only reason for this decision, for instance, when it comes to this particular thing, is that we choose to honor Christ and exalt him, period. That's the heart of the decision. You know, and I know that there are a lot of things in churches. People differ in worship style. You know, we should do more hymns. No, we should do more contemporary. We need to do the stuff that was only out this year, not the stuff that was out 5 years ago. I mean, there's all kinds of fighting that happens in the church, you know? If that guy cooks Mexican food one more time for a family dinner, we're in Virginia, for goodness sakes, bring out some ham, you know what I mean? We can fight in all kinds of ways, but I can tell you there's no place for it here, right? And I hope you like my tacos. That was the best I could do, you know? That's your fault for getting somebody from the West Coast, okay? I'm just telling you, that's the way it goes. But you know what? We need to be able to laugh about our differences And when we differ, when we have differences of opinion about things, we can just kind of work through those things and laugh them through and move on. Because we're family, right? We're here for different reasons. We're here for what Christ is doing. We're not here to carry out our agenda. And I've seen churches have knockdown dragouts before over little things. Stuff that just doesn't need to be, you know? And I look at that stuff and I think, no wonder Paul was concerned, because things haven't really changed. The same problems they had back then are the same problems that even will come up within the church today. And here's the thing. It's not just enough that the leadership says, there'll be no quarreling in this place. It's got to happen in the hearts of the people in the congregation. It's not just about me. I mean, I can stand up here and demand things all day long and people could just walk out. But that's not God's will either. God's will is that we lay all that stuff down and we don't let that stuff get a hold of our heart, and we decide ourselves that when we come in this place and that when it comes to church family, there'll be no quarreling in this place. That's not for us. And you know, when we settle that in our hearts and say we are committed to a non-quarreling environment, I'll tell you, God does amazing things in that. You know, He does. But it requires a commitment. It requires us to say we choose to never go there, because quarreling weakens the church and tears it apart and eventually dissolves it. That's just factual. It's happened over and over and over. And I can say it won't happen here, and I can tell you it won't happen here from me. But ultimately, it's up to everybody who's here today to decide that that's not going to happen, right? Because I know that on any particular subject, whatever that subject is, that we're not going to agree on that in this place here today. I won't even go into politics, but that's a perfect example, right? We may not all agree on politics, and I'm going to leave it right there. You know what I mean? Because I'm no dummy, you know what I mean? But let me just tell you, it'll never be a dividing factor in this place, ever. Because I don't really care about politics. God handles those things. We prayed about that, right? We let Him handle it. He says this too, that there's jealousy in the church. I've watched jealousy among people where, you know, he has this position and he's the head of that committee, and that, we don't even have committees, but you hear what I'm saying. He's the head of that committee, they're the head of that committee, and there's this little infighting with all the leaders, and there's all this stuff going around, and I'm not as important as him, I haven't been here as long, I don't really have seniority. That's a bunch of garbage, right? We all know that, right? It's just a bunch of garbage. It doesn't even belong in the church. That's political. We don't have to do any of that. There's no reason for anybody to be jealous, because everybody has equal value in the eyes of the Lord here. That anybody, we're all as important as each other. I'm no more important than anybody else who just like walked off the street tonight. We are just people serving God, period, right? We're all doing our thing. We all brought to the table whatever we bring, and it's all equally important. How about outbursts of anger? Anybody ever seen that in church before? No place for it. Because you know why people get angry? Because they don't get their way, or their position's not accepted. Last I checked, it's not about any one person in this place. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And His position is extremely clear. It's all written out right here if anybody has any questions, right? Everything He believes, everything He stands for is in this word. And that's all we have. That's what we stand for. There's no reason to have outbursts of anger. There's no reason to get so mad at each other that we want to do something to somebody. I mean, I've heard people say they're going to hurt other people in the church. What in the world's going on, right? What in the wide, wide world of sports is happening here, right? Goodness. It's like, I don't know if you remember, but we belong to Jesus Christ, and this is a church. You know what I mean? There's no place for that in this place. You know, it says also here that they don't want to have factions. He goes, he hates to come back and find factions, you know. He would hate to come back and find that there are cliques in this place and that everybody's in little groups. How many times have you heard or said or thought? I couldn't find my place. They all have all these cliques and I don't know where I fit. I don't seem to fit anywhere. I mean, as a pastor, I hear all kinds of stuff, and I've heard that before. You know, well, those people are doing their thing, and they're doing that thing, and I don't really fit anywhere, so I'm just going to sit over here all by myself. You know what I mean? The thing about it is that we don't want to have the church all factioned off. We're one family, right? We're just one family serving one God, who we're all on the same page, going to the same place. One thing I love about this place is it doesn't matter what socioeconomic background you have. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter anything about where you came from. Is that we all sit here and love being together and we eat together and have church together. You know, I love that about this place. It doesn't make any difference. There's no lines drawn. You know, that's so awesome. But I can tell you, it happens in churches just like this one. Little things begin to start. People begin to talk. We let our guard down and we let the enemy in this place. And we begin to fight about things and we begin to be jealous about things. And we begin to build little cliques and groups and we talk about stuff that we disagree about. And that kind of stuff can happen in the church, and it will destroy a church if you let it. And as a leader, I'm completely against those things, but ultimately it has to be all of us, right? That we're all against it because it's Satan's agenda in the church. It's not God's. Because he just wants to weaken the church. He wants to tear it apart. He wants to take it different directions. He wants everybody to scatter. And I don't bring you this message tonight because we have this huge problem we've got to get figured out here, and I'm just starting to preach it. That's not what's happening here. Is that we preach the entire word, right? Because I can't think of a lot of people who pull that word, that part of the word out and talk about that. But if we let our guard down, this is the kind of stuff that happens right here in churches all over the place because they're not aware of it. I mean, I've had people come up and they just are so angry, they're so upset, they're so this, they're so that. They're saying stuff to me that you can't imagine somebody would say to a pastor. They don't even realize there's hate in their heart for people in the church, and they're verbalizing it. And I think that it's good for us to come face-to-face with that when we need to so we can change. But sometimes even when it's pointed out, they're like, I have a right to this, man. And when you start seeing that stuff, you start seeing that Satan has a foothold in places in the church, and it just can't be. And it can't be because somebody let their guard down and they believe that that's really their right. And I'll tell you what, all rights are left at the door. This is all about Christ. You know, it's not about what you deserve. It's not about what you have coming. It's not about being heard. This is about hearing him and allowing his truth to be sown into your life. He also said, I don't want to come in and find slander in the church. People talking about other people. That's never happened in church before. Oh, yes, it has. I'll tell you what, there's no place for that, right? It happens. But you know, when we do that stuff and we say stuff, it needs to stop and we need to cut it off and we need to move on. Like, that just doesn't need to be because that's not what this is about. Slander never lifted anybody up. Slander never made a church stronger. Slander never made your life better. None of that. And why don't we just move on to the next item, gossip? We live in Allegheny County. You know this is an issue, you know? I'll just let you guys keep commenting until you're done, okay? Because you know. You know, when you think about slander and gossip and things like that in a church, it becomes really damaging. People come in this place because it's safe. And they come in here because the truth is setting them free and they're getting better. They're getting better spiritually and they're getting on track and they're being strengthened when they come in here. The last thing they need to do is for someone to talk about them or where they've been or what they've done to tear them back down to where they were before they ever came in here. That stuff's very damaging. It sets people back a long ways. And you know, I can understand why Paul says I'm a little bit concerned that when I come back I might find this stuff. You know, it would be tough. I mean, I wonder sometimes, like, when Jesus Christ comes back and he sees his church, I don't want him to see this stuff here. Like, I can't answer for the rest of the church world out there today. But I can say for good news for us here, our church family, I don't want him to come and see all this stuff and say, this is what you were all about, you know. Because if we're not careful, this is what it will become. And I can tell you, a picture of what he's concerned about here is just a picture of the world. He's concerned that the church will become like the world around it. You know, and then you look at things like Light Tonight, concerned about church becoming like the world around it. You know, we've got to be careful with that stuff. It's very important that we're set apart, but we're not so set apart that we're no earthly good to people who are looking for Jesus. You know what I mean? But we are set apart for his use. And still able to reach people in the world that we live in. because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? He goes on to say that he doesn't want to find arrogance and he doesn't want to find disorder. Wherever you find arrogance, you find people who are unteachable. You find people who their way is the best way. Let me tell you, the best way is always Christ's way. It has nothing to do with ours. Arrogance has no place in here. You know, when you think about the last thing he said, disorder. You know, we don't want to come in here and find a place that's disorderly. We don't want to find a place that's spiritually disorderly or physically disorderly when he comes here. I mean, it needs to be a place where things are in order and they're right, and they don't have to be all strict and staunch to be that way. You don't have to hush your kids every time they make a noise, you know what I mean? Because it's not that kind of order. It's the order like this, is that everything is built upon Christ. He is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior, as the scripture says. And that is the order of this place. And it's the way it will always be. And when we think about it, there being order also, even within our services, it's like, I don't want to ever allow things in here that would distract from Christ being the center of attention. Right? Because he's the whole point. Over the years, I've seen a lot of stuff. It's almost been 16 years of stuff. I've seen a lot of things in church where people have become the focal point and Christ went to the background because the people were the forefront. And I can tell you, I just don't have a stomach for that anymore. There was a time where I was timid and I let things happen and I worked them out later. And those days are over. Which doesn't mean I'm all difficult and militant. I'm not. It means this, is that there will be no one put before Christ in this place, ever. Ever. And it's not that I don't love you, because I love each and every one of you. But it's not about you, even though I love you. Does that make sense? I hope that came out right, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Because that sounds a little rough, but I hope you hear me, okay? Because I really do love you, and I really want the best for you, and I came here tonight because I wanted to strengthen you, not because I wanted to tear you down. And the only reason I bring this particular passage to you tonight is because I don't want you to fall into the pitfalls many churches fall into that end up tumbling downhill and becoming everything Christ never wanted the church to be, you know? Because I really believe well-meaning people allow these things to kind of creep into their life and creep into their church and creep into their relationships to the point where things get so degraded that it's hard to bring the church back anymore. You know, I don't want it to be that way. You know, I always want this thing to be on track and I always want it to be the way Christ wants it to be. You know, Paul talks about being grieved. And I think that the heart of a pastor, and I think the heart of a lot of us here who love this church family with everything, is that we're grieved when we see those kinds of things. Our church has been through some difficult times over the years. This church didn't get here today without trouble. Let me tell you, lots of trouble. I didn't get to where I'm at today without a lot of personal trouble. But I'm never going to let the trouble in my life dictate my focus. Because if I'm not careful, the trouble in my life will become my bitterness. And it'll become my resentment. It'll become the fuel for my quarreling. It'll become the fuel for my jealousy. And become the fuel for outbursts of anger, slander and gossip and all these things. A lot of us have been through some stuff in life. And we bring some pain in this place. We have memories, places we've been, difficult things we've been through. We have some dysfunction in our lives because that's why we need Jesus. But if we're not careful, we'll let the function dictate our focus. And we'll let the dysfunction flow into our family life here. And it can't. But I don't want to ignore it either because I understand that God's healing those things So we openly talk about them, but at the same time, we take on the character of Christ as we deal with those things. And we focus on being everything Christ wants us to be and being the church that God wants us to be, and at the same time, getting better. Because God wants to take all those dysfunctions and bring healing into them. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to rise above where you've been. He wants you to put your addictions behind you, and he wants you to move forward. He wants all those things to become your past and for you to move forward in it. But the thing about it is, if we're not careful, those things will be the things that we bring into the church and allow to become a sickness in the church, and a sickness in our family, and a sickness in our life. And it's not God's plan for us. So, you know, when I think about all this tonight, I think I want you to be aware. I want you to be aware of what Satan's up to. I want you to be aware of how he tears down churches. It's very subtle. I want you to be aware of how he tears down your life, and he tries to tear down your families. You need to be aware of this stuff, because when you see it, it's like you can't unsee it. Like when you see what he's doing, as you're walking into it and making the mistakes, you're going to catch yourself, what am I doing? That's not for me. That's not for our church. That's not for my life. That's not for my family. I see what he's up to, and it's not happening. At some point, we need to step up and see it, but until we see it scripturally, we'll not see it in the practical life that we live. We have to see it. So now you see it, right? You can't unsee it. It's yours. So if you guys are quarreling people, stop it. It's so easy. Just stop quarreling. You know what I mean? If these issues are some things that you know you struggle with, I don't say that. You might as well laugh about this stuff sometimes. There's got to be some humor in it, okay? But if these are things that we deal with and we know we've allowed in, let's put them to an end. Let's stop this stuff so we can be everything that God's called us to be. Let's say, God, take these things out of me. Don't let me do this. I know this is not your plan. I know you want our church to be strong. You want my life to be strong. You want my family to be strong. Lord, I need you to move in all this. I need you to work this out of me, because I don't want any part of that. That's not your plan. And when we finally understand that and do that, God begins to change things. So that when I look back at the church, when I'm retired and I'm out there cutting wood, and I come into the church one day, 20 years down the road, because I plan to still be around in 20 years, you know. When I come back in here, I'm not going to be grieved. I'm going to be just absolutely exuberant, you know. That I see what God is doing in this place, and I see the love that people have, and I see that people are doing life together and loving people the way they're supposed to. I can't wait to see that one day. Paul says, I'm concerned about seeing these other things. To be honest, where I'm at, and I'm not making any statement about Paul because he was awesome, is that I can't wait to see the good things that God is going to do. I can't wait. Because I know that what he started in us and the things that he's teaching us today are things that are going to carry us for decades as a church, you know? Decades. It's going to be awesome. And these are the things we pass down to our kids too. This way of life, this way of living, where we say these things aren't for us, we will not bring that in here, we won't bring that into our family, that we are going to live for the Lord. When we begin to do that, it begins to change not only our lives, but our kids' lives and our grandkids' lives and our great-grandkids, and I don't know if there's any great-great-grandparents in here tonight. But I'm still waiting. Is there anybody now? No. I just want to pray over you tonight that God would really stir you with this passage today, that he would help you get to a place where you're absolutely committed to say, I will not go there. I won't go there here. I won't go there in my family. I won't go there in my life. Because I'm all about strengthening. I'm not about weakening. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth, Lord. I thank you that you've given us everything we need to be the family that you've called us to be. I thank you that tonight that your word is strengthening us and it's not tearing us down. Father, for anything we've ever done here that has been against what you wanted or counterproductive for the church and our family, our lives, Lord, we just ask your forgiveness over those things tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you recenter us on what's important, Lord. It's all about you, and it's all for you. Lord, help us to be the church family that you've called us to be. Help us to be a family that is absolutely committed to you and committed to each other, and that it's not just strengthening from the pulpit, but it's strengthening among the body. Lord, I thank you for everybody you've brought here tonight. I thank you for all that you're birthing in us. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, Lord, that you just continue to work in our hearts, that you just continue to draw us close to you. Lord, I pray that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit, and Lord, give us the obedience and the strength to carry it out. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you and give you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we have the prayer team come forward, please?